but there may be some helps for some of you. Okay? Good, let's pray again together, and then we move on. Father, again, we come before you knowing that you are the comforter. Lord, what we ask for is not to answer all our questions. There will always some remain and some new ones springing up. Our praise, Lord, that we get your peace about the truth, looking at the world as far as we can, objectively, the good sides and the bad sides. The side of life which makes so abundantly clear that you exist, as well as the side of life that makes us doubt whether you exist. Father, I pray that you keep us from only looking at one side, to become over positive, one-sided, and unmerciful with those who doubt. And on the other hand, Father, keep us from only looking at the doubtful side and walking away from you because we don't look at reality. Father, I thank you for the time that you give us here in Bible school, which prepares us for life, I pray, and for the things we encounter, which will be many. Help us again to understand how you speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Yeah, I would have an outline, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, but I have an outline for this lecture, which I can give you a copy then, okay? Afterwards. The overhead isn't here, so forget it for now. Hearing God. In the Old Testament, you read over 1,000 times. That's a lot. You hear the Hebrew words, Shema Israel, which means hear, O Israel, 1,000 times. In other words, God says to his people, hear me. When Jesus came onto the scene, God the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. And Jesus himself said a few times, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we all qualify. We have ears to hear. Let us hear. That's what the Word of God simply says. Now, how do we hear God? First of all, a statement. Personally, I have never heard an audible and hearable voice of God from the outside. I would love to be honest. And I remember there were times when I went through hard times. I said, God, if you ever speak to me, now is the time. And I was expecting maybe something, you know, just audible. But so far it never came. Now, I do know Christians who did say that they heard actually an audible voice of God. Can I see a raise of hand? Who of you heard God ever audibly speak? Anyone in this room? One, two, three. Thank you. That's, by the way, I do that a number of times. That's, by the way, the average. Actually, you're above average. Average is about 1 out of 100. From many different denominations. Some denominations, there would be more hands raised than others, but that has other reasons. Maybe I come to that. Now, it used to actually, in a sense, we get a ski instructor, Christian is his name. Some of you know Christian? from Tasmania. He's coming again. Actually, in a few days, he's coming for his next season. But a couple of years ago, he called at 6 o'clock in the morning, unfortunately. I was still sleeping. And he said, "Hans Peter, I just want to tell you, I want to come again next winter because God just told me now that I should come as a ski instructor to Tarnow again." I said, "Great, call later." And now I was pretty tired, but I talked a bit. 2 hours later, we had breakfast with our family. And Lisa, you know Lisa, my daughter probably by now, sometimes around. And she was probably 11, 12 then. I told him because they love Christian. I told him Christian called and God told him that he should come. And Lisa said, "How does Christian know that God told him or that he doesn't just speak himself?" A good question. We would say, how do we know that it was God's voice we heard or that we heard our subconscious speaking to ourselves? And that is a good question. It sometimes used to, I was frustrated about it because I heard speakers and preachers say, "God told me this morning to speak out of Matthew chapter 3. God told me this morning that we should raise money for the church building. God told me this morning that I should visit the lady, da da da." And I was wondering, why does God never speak to me? He speaks to him, to her, but he never speaks to me. And then sometimes, kind of frustrate me even more, like in summer we have Upward Bound. And I remember a couple of years ago there was one nice girl. First evening we have this intro evening, and she said, "God told me to come to Tarnhof to go through the 6-week program because he wants to show me things, da da da," which is great. We said, "Great that God showed you that you're here." The second week we went up to the mountain, but it was a really bad week weather-wise. It was raining and snowing. It was summer. It was wet. It was cold. There is no shower. There's only one toilet. There's only cold water, only one water pipe. And the second day up there, she came to me and said, "God told me that I should go home again." Now, I want to warn you with that phrase, "God told me." You know why? I've experienced it quite often that people use the phrase, "God told me," for one reason. They are unteachable. Because you see, if somebody comes to me and says, "God told me," I mean, who am I, Hans Peter Royer, to say anything else if God told her? So people use that phrase, "God told me," quite often just to have their own way, and they out themselves as being unteachable. Actually, what this girl said to me is, "Hans Peter, whatever you say, I'm not interested in because God told me." Basically, the truth is she didn't like it. God certainly wanted to speak to her and show her things in Upward Bound. Now, having said this, I do believe that God speaks to us, and God does speak to me. Now, how does God speak? I don't take any time for the first few points, although they're probably the most important, but I just for to have it complete. First point, how does God speak in and through creation? Very often, this is not seldom, this is actually often, when I'm about in my mountains, I'm walking up there, whatever, with the Lord, by myself with Him, just creation speaks to me, or God speaks to me through His creation. When I look at the mountains, I know one thing. God is a mighty God. God is a wonderful God. He is a wise God. Can I see how many of you have heard God speak in one or the other way whilst you were in creation? Can I see a show of hands? You see, I see about half of you. Second point, how does God speak? In and through circumstances. Sometimes it's circumstances that we are in that God uses to speak to you and me. I could ask you again about half of you would raise your hand. Third point, how does God speak? He speaks through other people. Please remember this. God not only speaks to you, He also speaks through you. And often the way you hear the voice of God is through other people. Because God said that we are the mouth of God. He wants to speak through your and my mouth to this world. Can I see how many of you have heard God speak very personal by another person, either through a lecture, a devotion, or through a personal one-to-one talk? How many? Is it almost all of you? Of course then, probably one of the most important is God speaks in and through His Word, the Bible, which is the most wonderful book in the world. It's a true about the truth. Everything we read in the Bible is helpful. How many of you have heard God speak in one or the other way while you read your Bible? You see, it's a lot of you. Now, having said this, by the way, also God also speaks through dreams. How many of you have heard God speak through dreams? Just out of interest, I want to see that. One, two, okay. I'm one of them. He also spoke to me. Not often, very rare, but He does, through dreams. But there is one other point, and this is what I want to focus on. Not because it's the most important, but it's the one where there is the most confusion. God also speaks to us through His intimate, personal voice of the Holy Spirit. How does this work? As please notice, it's not the most important. The reason why I emphasize it, it is the most area where there's most confusion. One thing we can already see, that God speaks to us audibly, which is kind of a spectacular thing. It happens. It happens in three people in here. It happens in some people I meet along my way. But, and please remember that, it is the exception. It is never the norm. You know what the norm is, how God speaks? Through the Bible, through nature, through circumstances, and through other people. And most of you raised your hand in those four areas because that's how God usually speaks. That we hear Him audibly, that which is a bit spectacular. I met a man in Australia once, and I have no reason not to believe him. He invited me for coffee after I spoke in the church. He was living on a farm. And he said, I was never interested in God and stuff. One evening, he was in his room. The window opened and Jesus came inside his room. He walked across the bed, sat down, talked to him. He could touch him, and then he left again. Now, I have no clue whether this is true or not, but one thing we do know, his life changed from that day on. And he became a very devout believer of God. You see, but one thing I also must say, this is the exception. I always write those down. I have six people like him. I'm 45 now, and I meet lots of people all around the world in many denominations. I have only six people met that have a spectacular encounter with Jesus Christ as this man. And I met thousands of Christians. So please, yes, it exists. And also in the Old Testament, by the way, you see, God showed Himself to Moses. But what about the other 2 million Israelites who wandered through the desert? They were also believers. But God did not show Himself to them as He did to Moses. And there is a mistake that some Christians make. They believe that everybody must have a revelation like Moses. No! His life was not the norm, because it's not normal to lead people 40 years through the desert. This is not the norm. It's the exception. There are still those exceptions today. You know, one exception is Major Ian Thomas, who died last summer, 92 years of age. He was traveling 60 years of his life. Every year he was traveling 11 months and was home only 1 month a year over 60 years. And he changed. God used him in a mighty way to reach thousands of people, which again influenced many other thousands. God really used his life in a great way. But please remember, that's the exception. If I would do that, I wouldn't change anything except my wife would divorce me. I can travel 3 months, and that's fine. Others maybe can only travel 1 month, and that's fine. Don't ever make an exception to the norm. You will have problems. Now, let's go back to the voice of God. The question often is, if God speaks, is it spectacular? Is it a loud voice? Is it an inner voice? Is it the exception? Do you have to be very spiritual to hear his intimate voice? That's the questions. Well, let me try to give you some answers. Point number one I already answered. This intimate inner voice by the Holy Spirit can be experienced by every believer. There is no exception. But it is not the norm in your life. You know what I actually do when this happens to me? I always write it down. I have a so-called spiritual diary. I write it down for one reason. I forget it if I don't write it down. And I notice that it's, yes, it may be 3-4 times a year, but it's not something I experience every day. I enjoy it, and it's good, but I try to hear his voice through the normal ways of his communication towards us, which I mentioned before. So, first point, it is not the daily norm of life. It never was in the Bible. You know, sometimes we read a story like Abraham, and God spoke to Abraham, da-da-da-da-da. Next chapter, God spoke to Abraham. But in between, there were 20 years, those two chapters. Don't forget that. Even for them, it was not the norm. Now, secondly, how do we become sensitive to the voice of God? To become sensitive to the voice of God. I think I told you that I was a shepherd boy for 3 years when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. I was up on an alp with an old lady. And I remember when the cows were close enough to the hut, this lady, Pauline was her name, she also died a couple of months ago, she would scream out a word a few times, and the cows would slowly turn around and make their way to the hut. But usually the cows were far up on the alp. This is why she needed me, young legs. I had to run up, and when I was close enough, I screamed the same words twice as loud as the lady, but the animals wouldn't move a bit. I had to run up, circle them, and then beat them down because I was so frustrated. They never listened to me. Now, in retrospect, why did they listen to Pauline and why didn't they listen to my voice? And the answer is pretty simple. They didn't know my voice. But they knew the voice of Pauline because she lived with the cows since 20 years, summer and winter. And the same is true about living with God. Please note this. Sometimes we hear that everybody all the times can hear the voice of God. That is very dangerous. Because I have heard things where a person would say, God told me, which obviously has nothing to do with God. Now, let me give you a story. Go with me to 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I don't explain it. Let's just read it. That's quicker. And we read scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel, you all know the story, ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. By the way, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There are times in history where the word of the Lord is rare. It's not always affluent, as hard as we may try. Verse 2, one night Eli, he was basically a godly man, had his problems as we all have, but he was a godly man. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel, he was a little boy, probably a teenager, was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, this is, you underline this. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That's the key. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli, the old man, realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" You know why I like the story? Because here an old man of God teaches a young man of God how to hear the voice of God. It's something that we must learn, to become familiar with the voice of God. It's not something that everybody has immediately all the time available. It takes familiarity to recognize the voice of God. And thirdly, when God speaks, he usually speaks from within for a very simple reason, because this is where Jesus lives. When you hear the voice of God, it's usually not from the outside. Why? Because Jesus lives inside. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." But from where do we hear his voice? From the inside. And usually when God speaks, it's through a perception or a thought which is provoked by his Holy Spirit who lives within us. Fourthly, God speaks while people pray. Let me give you one example that you know what I mean. Go to Acts chapter 10, please. God, you hear God's voice speaking to you usually while you pray. Not in answer to your prayers, but while you pray. In Acts chapter 10, just to show you from the Bible what I mean by that. Acts 10, it's Peter, the Apostle Peter. Let's just read from verse 9. "About noon the following day, as they were on the journey and approaching their city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and then God spoke to him." Now the point here is, while Peter was praying on the roof, God spoke to him in a vision. On the other side, there was Cornelius, the first Gentile, being converted. And please read in verse 30, Cornelius answered, "Four days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said," da 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 da. The point here again is, While Cornelius prayed, God spoke to him through a man who gave him some word from God. Now let me say something which may sound a little, not harsh, but direct. But if you never heard the voice of God, or maybe you're even doubting that God will ever speak in a personal, intimate voice, I think I know one thing about you. You don't spend much time in prayer. Because historically and biblically, we learn that God speaks while we pray. You see, sometimes Christians are so frustrated that God never speaks to them personally. And my first question usually is, how much time do you actually spend with God? And you know what they most of the time say? That's my weak point. I hardly ever spend time with God. And I say, well, it's not your weak point, it's the problem of your problem. Because you struggle that you never hear God speak, but if you never listen in your presence, how do you expect to hear His voice? So, point four, God speaks while we pray. And then lastly, how do we differentiate the voice of the subconscious and the voice of God? How can we differentiate between those two? Because that's the question that Lisa had, remember? How does he know whether God spoke to him or whether he himself spoke to him? Which is a very good question. And you and I probably sometimes struggle. Often in talks, I heard it say, well, but I don't know, was it God speaking to me or is it just me wanting it? Well, there are some objective ways to test the one or the other. How do we differentiate a human voice? See, let's assume your mother or your dad or whatever, whoever person you know well, is walking outside the window here. The windows are tilted, and they speak loudly. If your mother would walk by here, you would recognize her voice. Question is, objectively, how do you know it's your mother? Can you help me there? How do you know it's your mother? You know her, that's subjectively. I know, you know, but that's subjectively, yes?
You spent time and talked with her, and so you know what her voice.
Exactly, it's familiar to you. But again, that's subjective.
What she says.
What she says, what do you mean by that?
What she talks about, how she says it.
Very good. If this person talks about soccer, I know it's not my mother. You know, this is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yes, very good. It's the content.
Yeah.
What else objectively helps you knowing this is your mother? Any other idea?
The style,
what do you mean by that?
The tone of the voice,
exactly, very good. It's the quality of the sound. And there is one other. It's the quality of the sound. You know, some speak very high, some very low. You know, some talk very fast, and others, you know, speak slowly, like Haley, you know, slow, no rush. There is one other thing, it's the spirit. There is a spirit attached to every voice. What I mean by that, some people when they speak, they always speak very passionate. You know, they always speak like this, you know. It's kind of tiring after a while, But that's how they are. In some voices, some always whine. You know, everything is so hard. Well, I have to go to lecture again. You know, it's always that. It's a whining spirit. It's a spirit in the voice. And then the third thing that you already mentioned, it's the content. Now, surprisingly, the same three apply recognizing the voice of God. Now, what's the difference? The difference is when your mother walks by, you actually hear an audible voice, but when Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he speaks to you by the Spirit in the form of a thought or a perception in your mind. And yet the same three apply. Let me explain what I mean. Firstly, if you want to write it down, the quality, which I mean the weight of authority. The weight of authority. You know what differentiated Jesus from all the other teachers in his time? Go to Matthew 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. Matthew 7, verse 29. 28 and 29, we can read both. What made Jesus different? Matthew 7, 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? Because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. When Jesus said something, there was always authority. Did you notice that Jesus never said, maybe, perhaps, probably? Jesus said it and he meant it. Always, in all his discourses. He always spoke with authority, of course, because he's the Son of God. And when I hear a voice in the inside, one difference between my subconscious and the voice of Jesus is this. When Jesus speaks, there is always authority behind it. When my subconscious speaks, I can always adjust it, I can change it, I can refine it. When Jesus speaks, I cannot. Let me explain you what I mean. It's a couple of years ago, just a personal example. But it was evening, I went for my prayer walk, as I often do, and I prayed for my former boss, just met him 2 days ago again, which was great, in the ski school. I was the head instructor of a ski school in Ramsau for 9 years, and he was the owner. And I just prayed for him, he came in my mind. And as I prayed, I remembered that when I was running his ski school, I took a pair of socks. It was also a small sport shop. And my socks were wet. I took off new socks, put them on, but I never paid them. That was 15 years ago. I long ago forgot about those stupid socks that I never paid. 15 years later, as I pray for him, he came, socks, you never paid them. And you know, my rational mind immediately says, I mean, that's stupid, you know. First of all, he never knew about it. Secondly, my socks were wet. I had a good reason to take them. If I wouldn't have changed them, I probably would have been sick and I couldn't have worked for a week. Thirdly, he didn't pay me enough anyways. I deserved the socks. All kinds of reasons. And you know what came? You pay the socks. Pay the socks. And it was a real struggle for, I can't remember, it was probably half a year to a year where I could not, I thought this is stupid, this is my subconscious. But after half a year, Heinz and sock were the same words all the time. Until finally I said, either I pay the stupid socks or I commit suicide. And so one day I went, I saw him at his office, went in and I said, Heinz, is a bit embarrassing, but 15 years ago I took socks and I never paid them. I actually stole him, here's money with interest and so on. And actually he was very understanding, he was very friendly. gave the money back. He said, give it to Tarnhof. But you know what? I left the office. I was a free man. Why did I know it's the voice of God? Because there was authority. When my subconscious speaks, I can always adjust it. I can always make it better or refine it. When God speaks, He just speaks. That's one way how to recognize the voice of God. Secondly, by the spirit in the voice of God. There's a spirit in the voice of God, which is simply, to put it that way, the spirit of Jesus. If God speaks to you, it will always be a spirit of goodwill, a spirit of mercy, a spirit of confidence. And please turn with me to James 3:17 and underline this verse. James 3:17. James says this, James 3:17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, in other words, the wisdom that comes from God, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. In other words, when God speaks, His voice will be pure, it will be full of mercy, it will be loving, it will be peaceful. Now, why do I say this? I sometimes listen to a lecture or a sermon, or I read a book, and he quotes scripture with everything he says, but something inside me cringes, or I feel very guilty. I feel very bad. I feel unspiritual. I feel a bad Christian after listening to him or her. And what I learned to do it, I take it, I put it on the side and say, God, please show me, what is the problem here? Am I the problem or is that the problem? And God has always been faithful. Let me tell you one thing. If after a sermon, you only feel bad and guilty and worthless, it was not a good sermon, it was a bad sermon. Because a good sermon will assure you of the love of God. Yes, it will convict you if you are wrong or if you sin. But if it convicts you, there is a way out. You will not feel condemned or bad or worthless. You say, yes, God, I really need to confess this to you. But then you're free again. But if you just feel bad, sometimes, often I said in church, you know, if there was a sermon that made people really feel guilty and bad, they said, that was a deep sermon. Now that wasn't deep, that was a bad sermon. Because Jesus said, my burden is light, not heavy. And if a preacher puts a heavy burden on you, it's probably not the words of Jesus. You see, and if the voice inside you condemns you, makes you feel guilty with no way out, please be assured it's not the voice of God. Because whenever God speaks by His intimate voice, it's always the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of goodwill. And thirdly, lastly, the content. If what God says to you privately, personally, contradicts with the scripture, with the general revelation of God, please be assured this is not God speaking to me. No personal word that you receive from God will ever supersede or contradict the words that Jesus already spoke in the Bible. And there's great danger in some circles where personal revelations are put above the general revelation of the Bible. Be very careful there. This God will not do. He will not contradict or supersede his general revelation. And one last thing, 1 minute, and then we go for lunch. When people say to me, Hans Peter, I don't hear the voice of God, I sometimes, not always, but I sometimes ask them, why do you want to hear the voice of God? If I ask you now, what would you say? Why do you want to hear the voice of God? Someone say, well, that would be nice. Then, and sometimes I know the people and I say, do you really want to know what God has to say the way you live in relationship to your parents at the moment? Sometimes they say, not really. Do you really want to know what God has to say the way you live with your girlfriend at the moment? Not really. Do you want to know what God has to say the way you handle your finances or your free time at the moment? They say, not really. Then I say, well, if you don't want to hear the voice of God in area 1, 2, and 3, I don't think it's fair that you expect God to speak to you in area 4, 5, and 6. Do you really want to hear the voice of God in all areas of life? Not just because we can say on a Sunday, I heard God speak, but a life-changing experience when we really want to hear the voice of God. And G. Campbell Morgan said, I close with this, wherever there are hearts waiting for the voice of God, that voice is to be heard. If you want to hear God, you will hear Him, also in His intimate, personal voice of the Holy Spirit. All right, friends, thank you. Let's go for lunch. See you later.